Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My name's Lucy King, and I'm very pleased to meet you. And can you tell me your full name?
Mrs. Mary Griffiths.
And I'm here on behalf of the Cornerstone Oral History Project to talk to Mrs. Griffiths about her memories of the Ebenezer Chapel in Charles Street in Cardiff. And can you tell me when you first started going there?
I was just round about six, just past five, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I used to go to Sunday school every Sunday afternoon with a group of friends. That's where I spent my Sunday afternoons, with the very, very dedicated Sunday school teachers. Miss Edna Ryden was one. They were three sisters, Edna, Elizabeth, I think of the other one as we go. They were our Sunday school teachers, they were. And it was just a pleasure to go there for the hour and a half that the Sunday school took, you know. Mr. Harry Bull was the superintendent, and Miss Brobins were sort of in charge, if you like. I went there from that age. When I was 10, we joined the choir. I say we because there was four of us. As Mary Jenkins, Pat Shires, Valerie Lewis, and myself. And we always went there. It was a base because there was nothing much else around. And on a Sunday, that's all you would do. You would go to Sunday school, and you could have somebody in the house, but you wouldn't go out to play. It was Sunday. But it was a lovely time because they were so kind to us. And children then, we didn't have what the children got today, but we had a lot of love from these people. And we all felt welcome, you know. It was just the done thing.
And which bit of the building did you go into for Sunday school? Was that in the front chapel or in the back hall?
In the back. We go in the back and down the steps.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have Sunday school there.
And what was it like in there?
Just an ordinary room, but off that there was a huge hall where we had youth club.
Mm-hmm.
With lots of rooms off there. And we'd go every week, as long as you went to Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
You could go to sewing class with Miss Nancy Hughes on a Tuesday. And you could go to youth club on a Friday with Mr. John Leslie.
Mm-hmm.
Nicest people I ever met, really. And Mr. Harry Bull was the Sunday school superintendent. And there were two ladies, Miss Brobins.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't like teachers, they were all friends, you know. And they were very kind to us all, they really were.
And what sort of things did you do in the Sunday school?
Oh, they'd read us a story, and we were honoured if we could take the collection. And we'd sing hymns, of course. And then whatever time of the year it was, if it was Easter, you'd practice the Easter hymns and a little play. And then it would be Whitsun then. Oh, great fun at Whitsun, because it was the Whitsun treat. And it was a treat. We'd all pile on this lorry with all the chairs. We'd go up to the field for the day. And the Sunday school teachers, they were marvellous. They'd play all day with us, baseball, and we'd have races. And then we'd have buns, currant buns and milk. And then it would be time, 4 o'clock, 4:30, to climb on the lorries and come home. But that was one of the highlights of the Sunday school year and for us, you know. Then we had Youth Club on the Friday, and John Leslie was the leader there. We had table tennis, and they had darts and draughts and all sorts of things in there, because it's a huge hall at the back there. John Leslie would have all sorts of things ready for us. We had table tennis. We were six of us in the team, and we were top of the league then. There was Pat Shires, myself, Cliff Baker. He married Pat, and they went to Canada to live.
Mm-hmm.
As Mary was married, she had three daughters, and she lives up in Pennyland now. Valerie moved to Swansea, and me, I'm still around. We're very fortunate. We had a wonderful time with them, and it was the centre of our lives, really, because everything we did was with the people we met in Chartersbury Congregational.
And did you go to the service in the morning?
Sometimes, not often, but mostly in the afternoon until I was older. And then when we were 10, the four of us joined the choir. And they ruined us, they did, because we were the young ones and they were all married couples. They were old ladies compared to us, you know. But they were so lovely. Mr. and Mrs. Lewis, Mr. and Mrs. Martin, Mr. and Mrs. Pritchard. They really took us under their wing. And we had a wonderful time, and everything we did was around what we did in church. And then I went to guides, brownies and guides. Yes, it was a good time. Pat met Cliff Baker there, and they married. And Mary met Gomer, and they got married. I was married in Charles Street Congregational, but Ron was a Whitchurch boy. That's my husband. But he came often to church with me. It was just what we did. We go swimming on a Friday. As long as you went to sewing class, you could go. And I hated sewing. Oh, I didn't like sewing. But it was the fact that we could go and play table tennis and whatever John Leslie had planned for us, you know. We used to have Bible studies and Bible classes. Sometimes as a special treat, we had a lovely Sunday school teacher, Miss Edna Ryden. I'll never forget her. Her birthday's the same day as mine, so she was sort of special, you know. And she used to take us on special treats now and again. Then we had the Whitson treat, me. I mean, that was a highlight of our year. But most of the things we did were around Charles Street Church. We were 10 when we joined the choir, and they were all, I mean, they're middle-aged ladies to compare me. We were only, 10, 11. But they were so nice, so kind to us. Because we were all young, you see, and they didn't have any youngsters at that time. The first minister I met was Mr. Jefferson. Oh, dear. We'd sit on the seat underneath the pulpit. And you know what girls are. Oh, giggling. And we tried our best, but it was good. Mr. Jefferson was a very kind gentleman, elderly gentleman. We had a few ministers in and out. I can't think of his name. But everything that we knew and grew up with was around Charles Street Congregational. In fact, I don't know what we'd have done without them. And then when we actually joined the choir, oh, we thought we were the bee's knees then, because there was the harvest festivals, so we'd do something special for that. And then, of course, Christmas was the celebration, wasn't it? It was all so special then, because whatever they did was a treat, and because none of us really had. We had lovely homes, and the parents were kind and did what they could. But money was very restricted in those days. But then you didn't need money where we were going. It was all fun and games and all that in church, you know? They didn't have guides in Charles Street when I was there. My mother used to go to guides there. But they didn't do that. They had the youth club. But I went to All Saints Church for guides, brownies and guides. That was a good time too, because different people, new friends, you know. But Charles Street will always be special. Even though now I go here to St. John Lloyd, I always say my church. And they know I mean Charles Street. But it was such a happy time. And you knew that when you went there, you were quite safe. Go to choir practice on a Thursday. Mr. Tomes would bring us home. And that was a ride in a car. I mean, that was very special. Then Sunday, morning, afternoon and evening, we'd go once we joined the choir, you know. Choir practice on Thursday. Mr. Tomes would have an outing for us in the summer. Parties, Christmas time. Wits and Treats was a great day. Teachers would play with us all day long. We had swings that they put up. And then we all had buns. We had a very old Puffin Billy, we used to call it. It was like something they could boil water on, you know, an old-fashioned thing with a, and they had a lid, and it used to go up and down and make that noise that that sort of thing makes. And Uncle Joe, that was one of the choir men, we called him Uncle Joe. He used to be there stoking the fire and making the cocoa. And then there would be a sweet store we could buy, but we had coppers, 2 or 3 pennies maybe. But you never went without, because they'd give you sweets if you didn't have pennies. It was a different time, different outlook everybody had then. Once we were 10 and we could join the choir, you really began to understand a little bit, because when you're children, I mean, you go, you sing the hymns, and if you were asked to take the collection, you were very special that day. You must have been very good. And then, of course, we'd look forward to the Wits and Treats. We'd have races, and we'd have lollipops, and always buns, currant buns for tea. Then what would come next? The harvest was always lovely. We'd help to decorate the church, and then we'd help to give out all the fruit and the veg to all the old people, you know. We thought we were the Cat's Whiskers then. Could do that, you know. Mr. Tomes was a very kind man. And he'd take us home in his car. So he was very special, Mr. Tomes. He was the choir master. And he allowed us to join the choir just when we turned 10, maybe 11.
And how long did you stay in the choir?
Oh, I was there, I don't know, I seemed to be there forever. Because that's all we had, you see. We'd have an outing in the summer with the choir, and we'd do something else with the choir, and they always did a special anthem for Easter, so it was extra choir practice. And Tuesday, like you say, if you went to sewing class, oh, I hated sewing class, but if you didn't go, you couldn't go to anything else, so the four of us went religiously.
What did the boys have to go to if you were at sewing class?
The boys had table tennis. Mm. They were top of the league, they were with table tennis. They had the youth club, proper youth club that John Leslie ran. They'd go swimming on a Friday and they'd have darts, and he'd organise different things for the boys. And then the Miss Brobins and Miss Edna Ryden and her sisters and Nancy Hughes, such a quiet little lady. She'd teach us different things. And then, of course, when we joined the choir, that was another night that we were in church. So if you were ever looking for us, that's where our mums knew where to find us.
And when you got married, was the service in the chapel?
Yes, yes.
What do you remember about your wedding day?
Everything. Everybody came. Everybody that I knew from that high, you know, they all came into the church. Mr. Tomes played the organ. All the ladies, because I used to take my aunt down on a Tuesday to sisterhood. So because I wasn't working at the time, I used to go to sisterhood and I'd make the tea or help, whatever they wanted. So they all came. They all came to the church. Oh, it was a great day. It really was. But, a long time ago now, Mr. Tomes played the organ. Brithen Davis, I think it was. I get mixed up with the ministers. Because we had Brithen Davis, we had Ralph Tomes was the choir master. I always remember him, Mr. Tomes. He had a son and a daughter, Mary and But they were very kind to us because we were from the other end of the city, if you like. They were Penny Lan and all they, you know, but we were from Adamsdown and from that area and went to Adamsdown School. That was lovely too. We had lovely teachers, really kind teachers we had. Even when we left school, we used to go back to see them. They used to say, "What are you coming back here for? We thought you wanted to leave." But it was like home from home.
When did you take your family there when they were growing up?
Yes, they were both the children were christened there. Ian is the eldest; he's 52 now, and Robert then is 50. Two boys we had. But Mr. Davis, Brithen Davis, was the minister, and his wife used to mind the baby whilst Ron and Ian and myself would stay in church. But Mrs. Davis used to take Robert outside. he was only little, he was only two. But, so yes, they went there to Sunday school. But things changed then, you know. Where we lived, sort of on the doorstep there, we were out here. But Ron would take me to church, we'd go. And the children would obviously come with us. Are you all right down
yes.
there? You sure? Would you like a chair? Yes, the children went there till we moved out here. And then they went to the little church in the square in Rumney with my neighbour over there. That was nice. Because it's only a Catholic church by here.
Mm.
So May used to take them every Sunday afternoon. But I never lost touch with the people that I grew up with, you know. In fact, I went to live with Mrs. Lewis and Auntie Susie and Uncle Joe, I called them. Her name was Alice Lewis and Joe Lewis. They didn't have any children. And there was a time in my life like this. I'd lost my nan and things were a little bit difficult. And they offered me a home with them. So I went to live with them. I don't know how old I was, but I left there when I got married and I was 30 then. But all that time, I was with Charles Street as a backup at my church, and all my friends were there, and Mr. and Mrs. Lewis, they came very close. They were more like family, you know? And I was about 16, I think. 16, 17, when I went to live with them. And I lived with them right up until I was married. And I was 30 when I got married. We lost Uncle Joe, but Auntie Susie was always here. She was more like family, if you like, because she didn't have any children, see? So they spoiled us. Very spoiled. But that was a happy time too, because there was always, we were always going to church. We were always going either to youth club, or we were going to drama class, or there was sewing class, or there was something all the time. And then of course in the summer, they'd take us to the park, they'd take us swimming. And like he's already told you, the Whitsun treats. That was a Whitsun treat. It's lovely. And we celebrated all the churchy things. We were always there. Decorate the church for harvest. Give out the cauliflowers and the cabbages to the old people. Now I'm one of them. But it was a very happy time in my life there. I was 25, I think. Around about 25 when I knew Ron, but when we got friends, you know. I was married in Charles Street. The children were christened there. And then we'd go as often as we could, but Ron worked sometimes on a Sunday. And it was difficult to get down there. And then I lost Ron, and then I started to go down here because I missed going to church, you know. So, and I'm still down here in this little church by you.
And when you came back to visit Cornerstone earlier this year, what memories came back for you?
Sunday school comes back to me. Because Sunday school was the base that we had. And it didn't matter where you went, or if you didn't go, they'd frown at you and say, naughty, naughty. But it was like home from home. Well, everything we did was around the church. except the guides, and that was in Old Saints Church because we didn't have anything in Charles Street. I went to youth club. I went to sewing class because we wanted to go to youth club. Sprat to catch a mackerel, didn't it?
What did the boys have to go to get to youth club? If you had to sewing?
They couldn't go if they didn't go to church.
Oh.
They had to show up on Sunday afternoon and then they could go. They didn't miss either because we had nothing else really, you know. I used to take 10 of them with me to Sunday school every Sunday afternoon before I was married now. They'd all be waiting outside. And my uncle used to call me King of the Kids. Come on, your servants are here, he'd say to me.
How many would come to Sunday school?
Well, I would go with about 8 of them. And there were always children that lived around the church that came. Sunday school was Sunday school. It was really nice. And there was always something special. I don't know, even if you just passed a bag of sweets around, it was so special. One little boy, I'll never forget him, and he doesn't forget because I was in church one Sunday and this young man came up and he said hello. I said, oh, hello, nice to see you. Didn't know who he was. He said, you don't remember me, Mary, do you? I said, well, you have grown a little bit, haven't you? He said, remember when you took me home to your nan and she put cardboard in my shoes because it was raining and my shoes had holes in them. And then on the Monday, Mr. Gerald Meek shoe shop, he went around to his home and took him a brand new pair of shoes. And only about a month ago, that young man said to me, remember my shoes, Mary? That was the first pair of shoes, new shoes, that I'd ever had. So you see, they don't forget either. Mm. He's a lovely boy. Naughty boy, of course, but boys are, aren't they? I said, fancy you remembering that. He said, I don't forget. My first pair of new shoes. Simple little thing to the child of today, it wouldn't mean anything, would it?
Mm-hmm.
But to him, new pair of shoes. And the teachers were so nice to us all. Because they were, well, posh people, you know. They all lived in these big houses in Pennyland and drove cars. And if you had a ride in a car, oh, that was a treat. But it was fun. It really was. The wits and treats, Christmas parties.
What did you do at the Christmas parties?
Oh, they had it well organised. We'd have lots of different games and we'd have hide and seek and they'd hide things for you to find. And we'd sing songs and we'd have dances. None of us could dance, but we thought we could. It was a very special treat. It really was. And because the teachers were so kind to us, We would go anywhere with them, you know. And whatever we did, they were always there to look after us. And they always had a treat in their pocket. I run the Scouts, I do. I don't know if I told you before. Out here, 42 years I've been a Scout leader. And it gives me great pleasure to have sweets in my pocket. And I think when Mr. Bull used to say, sweets for the good girls today, and we'd all be there just for a little sweet, you know. So I always got sweets in my pocket. It was a very happy time, very happy. Thanks to people like Mr. Harry Bull, Mr. Tones, Uncle Joe, Mr. and Mrs. Martin, Mr. and Mrs. Pritchard. And so it goes on. So it goes on. But I've been very fortunate all my life, really. My gran, she was lovely. She made sure that you learned things right. The old people did, didn't they? Very strict, but she was lovely. So I have a lot to be thankful for, being able to live with my gran. Sounds a funny thing to say, because I have got brothers and sisters, but difficult times. And I think in my day, one of the family would go and live with grandma. I was the lucky one. I say that all the time. But even now, I say, God is always there. He's always looking after me. And I really mean that, because difficult times, there's always someone. And that's my belief. I firmly believe that he's there and he's watching over all of us. And that's how I spend my life and my time, with my cubs and scouts and beavers. I go to church. I go down here now. I got very good friends. I got two very kind sons. One is married. The other one is footloose and fancy free. He works with young people. So I'm very fortunate, really. I lost Ron now, a few years back, which was a big gap in our lives. But we got to be thankful for what we've had. We were lucky. We had a good life, a good relationship, and the boys are very, very kind and very caring. What more can you ask for? Good friends. My church on my doorstep. The two boys are happy. One is married, one isn't. I'm very lucky. Very lucky.